Police arrested Sylvia Yates at work one day. This was at the height of her hydrocodone addiction. This was back in 2010. She worked in an office building and she needed a fix. She needed quick cash to buy pills. So she stole $500 from a coworker's purse. Yates thought nobody was watching, but a hidden camera caught her.
I was arrested, handcuffed, and walked out of the building in front of coworkers and also my daughter that worked there. And I felt so bad. I didn't worry about myself. I worried about her.
Yates, a mother of three, had been addicted for years. She'd already tried rehab a couple of times but couldn't stay clean. Her addiction was a huge financial drain. She says she was spending up to $500 a week on hydrocodone and borrowing or stealing money when her paychecks weren't enough. On top of that, she would shoplift groceries to feed herself and her children.
I can't remember exactly how many times I was arrested. I know it was several. I was arrested once for writing my own prescriptions. I had forged a doctor's name, and I was charged with 11 felonies.
And you were working as a respiratory therapist at various hospitals. What were you doing to feed your addiction while you were working at different hospitals?
I stole money from nurses' lockers, stole prescriptions from charts, took them to the pharmacy in the hospital, had them filled. I never actually got to steal pills from any hospital or anything, but I did steal prescriptions.
And you would get fired from one hospital. How would you convince another hospital to hire you after one had fired you?
Well, I really have no idea. I guess I probably wasn't being honest, because the whole time in my addiction, during my addiction, I wasn't honest.
And you were taking 30 to 40 pills a day at one point?
Yes, I started out taking, I would take one or two a week, and then I would take one or two a day. And as my addiction grew, as my life fell apart, I started to take more and more. And at the end of my addiction, I was taking 30 or 40 hydrocodones a day.
How could you function?
Well, I don't know. I thought I was functioning pretty well, but I think others saw it in me. And obviously, I wasn't functioning very well because my life had become so unmanageable.
So you get arrested, you go to rehab. This is actually your third time in rehab. What was different about the third time? Why did it actually work the third time?
The first two times, I tried to make it work, but each time I got out of rehab, I got out with the same set of problems. I had gone through a bad marriage, and actually that's what started it. I started to take pills to cover up and mask my feelings and the hurt and disappointment that I was feeling. So the third time when I went to rehab, it was after I had surrendered my addiction to God, and I wanted it. I wanted to be clean. I wanted to finally have a normal life again.
That's the main story in the new book, Hooked But Not Hopeless, Escaping the Lure of Addiction. Sylvia Yates wrote it with her sister, Sherry Hoppe. You might have heard of Sherry Hoppe. She's an established nonfiction writer who lives in Chattanooga. Hoppe has already written books about overcoming grief. This is Hoppe's first book about overcoming addiction.
Well, I'd been writing self-help books for a while, and I got to thinking about Sylvia's story and how it might be an inspiration to other people. Primarily because I'd always thought of addicts as coming from rough and tough backgrounds or from the Hollywood area. You know, really big movie stars, or it just wasn't something that happened to average, ordinary people who grew up in loving families.
Sylvia Yates' story is the main one in this book, but it's not the only addiction story. Several other addicts are featured in different chapters after the first part about Yates. The other addicts, some drug addicts, some alcoholics, are also Chattanooga residents. That's one of the most interesting aspects of this book, actually. It's not a celebrity tell-all. Instead, it's local stories of people who might literally be your neighbors or coworkers, maybe even your child.
For example, one of the people in the book is a local artist, and his family had totally cut ties because he had stolen money from them and had just caused so many problems. And yet, when he called one night and said, I think I'm going to kill myself, they came and they encouraged him to go into rehab. And now he's been in recovery maybe 15 or 20 years.
Recovery, rehab, 12-step programs, that's the kind of help this book advocates. There are no miracle cures in this book. It directs addicts who seek recovery toward time-tested programs like Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. Also, it directs family members toward programs like Al-Anon and Alateen. If you know an addict and you're wondering why he or she can't just stop, this book has answers. For addicts, it particularly emphasizes the spiritual aspects of recovery, and it's available at a local Christian bookstore.
It's available locally at Lifeway Christian Bookstore in the Hamilton Place area and also online through Amazon.com.
Again, it's called Hooked But Not Hopeless, Escaping the Lure of Addiction, and it's by Sherry Hoppe and Sylvia Yates. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Michael Edward Miller.